Today on Real Radio.
The scripture says in verse 14 that God has given us the Holy Spirit as a guarantee. He's put the Holy Spirit in your heart as a down payment. It is God's first installment in your life, promising that He's going to get you to heaven intact.
You make me, break me, change my life completely. Always my days, I freely give you my praise. My heart is in your hands, let me feel your touch. Lord, I live for your love.
Hello and welcome to Real Radio with Pastor Jack Hibbs of Calvary Chapel, Chino Hills in Southern California. We invite you to listen, learn, and be challenged by the Bible, God's Word. On today's edition of Real Radio, our teacher continues in his series through the New Testament book of Ephesians. We're asking the question, are you sealed by the Holy Spirit? It's a mini-series that examines chapter 1, where Paul's opening remarks of the letter mention this principle. Here's pastor and Bible teacher Jack Hibbs continuing in his mini-series called, Are You Sealed by the Holy Spirit?
But verse 13 begins the entire redemptive process laid out before us, and it will culminate in verse 14. It is so fantastic. We saw last week where it says that there's the hearing of the gospel. By the way, that's the work that we ought to be doing all the time. We're coming up on a work to go evangelize. Get the word out there. We all responded by hearing the gospel at some point in time of our lives. Hearing the gospel. You heard it somehow. Isn't that amazing? Now, you may have heard the gospel presentation many times before. But there was a moment in time when you heard the gospel. And it clicked. And you went, man, that's what I need to do. I need to choose Christ. You heard the gospel. It says there that you believed. And then now it says that you were sealed. This great transaction that took place. And so, let's go on. Sealed by the Holy Spirit of promise. What does this mean? Why don't you turn to Luke 24. Hold your finger right here in Ephesians and go a little bit to the left to Luke 24. Luke 24 to verse 46. Luke 24, 46. Then he said to them, Jesus, thus it is written, and thus it was necessary for the Christ to suffer and to rise from the dead on the third day. He's talking to the Emmaus Road disciples. And that repentance, verse 47, and remission of sins should be preached in His name to all nations beginning at Jerusalem, and you are witnesses of these things. Behold, I send the promise of my Father upon you, but tarry in the city of Jerusalem until you are endued, are baptized with power from on high. He's talking about the Holy Spirit being the promise. Jesus said earlier on in John's gospel, I will send you the promise. So what is the promise? Listen, let the Bible be the commentary on the Bible. You can open up a lot of commentaries and they're going to tell you what the promise is. Jesus tells you who the promise and what the promise is. It is the Holy Spirit. So in verse 13, it says that you were sealed with the Holy Spirit of promise. He's not only speaking about the Holy Spirit in His work, what He does. Jesus said He'll come. But the very promise that is made to us. It is the Holy Spirit who will bring to pass the promises of God in our lives. Isn't that a credible thing? It's not you. Somebody makes us a promise, and then that promise is possibly in jeopardy. We really want it. I promise you, I'll do it. Oh, good. You know what He promised? Oh, I'm so excited. Well, what happens if there's a little bit of wavering, you know? But you promised! We'll so easily, quickly take the words of men and just have absolute peace. You know what? He gave me His Word, and I'm just going to rest in that. And well, God's given us His Word. And what do? We read the promises. Oh, Lord, are you really going to do it? Oh, God, has He ever broken a promise? And yet we run around like a chicken with our heads cut off. We're so funny. But somebody will say, I promise, I'll be there at 5. It's 5:10. 5:20. Jesus says, I'll be there. And He's there every time. I'll do this. I'll fulfill that because He has said so. And the Holy Spirit will see to it. Promise. This is a word to make to mean to make announcement. The Holy Spirit of announcement. The Holy Spirit of guarantee, of pledge, of assurance. The Holy Spirit of assurance. And it's announcing not only this, listen, the seal is a tangible thing. He stamps the Holy Spirit's ownership on our heart, and then the Holy Spirit turns around and makes a proclamation, a promise. And that's the meaning of the verse that says the Spirit of God bears witness with our spirit that we are the sons of God. What is He saying to us? He's speaking words of assurance to us. Did I say insurance? Assurance. Maybe insurance too, right? Fire insurance? Thou shalt not burn, you know. Promise. He's given us promise. Given us a pledge. And by the way, this is really, this is very precious. Because it speaks of a wedding. It's a promise. We're going to get more into this because the words are aligned this way, but it goes with this kind of thinking, and Paul is using these words. If I were engaged to a woman, that engagement first began with the asking, and then the ring is taken, and you know, will you marry me? Yes. There goes the ring. And, you know, why do we even do that? That ring is an announcement. It's a promise that you're spoken for. You're taken. And listen, when love is involved, that bride-to-be is very glad to get that ring because there's love there. Oh, I've got the ring. Oh, yes, ring's on there. And, you know, they drive around the window down and it's... They catch it on the curtains and they rip sweaters with it and it's out there. And, well, they're proud. You know, I'm spoken for. And that's really precious. I think that's beautiful. And that's I think that's the kind of pride that God loves. I'm spoken for. I'm taken. And it's an announcement. Hey, guys, back off! Now, that was the bridegroom speaking, the groom-to-be. You put that ring on there and it's basically, hey, butt out! This is my babe! And, you know, that's a great thing. She's spoken for. The word can mean, in the context of marriage, it means that I have pledged to her my wealth. But that's what the word means. My poverty. I have pledged to her my possessions. And I have pledged to her my love. And I have pledged to her my protection. I have pledged to her my security. The thing is, it speaks of, listen, gals and guys, it speaks of ownership. He owns me. And people go, oh man, I can't believe he said that. And oh, what a chauvinistic statement. Listen, if you think like that, you got to get your brain cleaned. You know, we've been so polluted by the world. If somebody loves you, if a young man loves you, if a man loves you the way you're supposed to be loved, the greatest thing in the world is for you to be under his protection, security, wealth, possessions, and ownership. That's what the word meant. I'm His. And we've gotten so twisted with our culture because men aren't men and women aren't women anymore, and there's this stupid vying for power and all this weird stuff, because I think it's because men aren't being men. I think if men would be men, women would be women. As God has created the marriage union, there's this amazing, strange thing that none of us will understand, and that is, in that love experience between a husband and a wife, God has established the headship of the husband. But there's this beautiful thing in the Lord where He is so dependent and so needing and longing and yearning for her love and her comfort and her peace that only she can give. And in a very wonderful way, not a weird way, but in a very wonderful way, there's this thing where the wife takes the place of the comforts and security that the mother used to provide. But oh, so much more, because it's of God. And it's a beautiful thing. And this promise has been given. Aren't you glad Jesus is engaged to us, the Bible teaches us, the bride of Christ, the church. 2 Corinthians 1:20 tells us, though, concerning promises. 2 Corinthians 1:20 says, for all the promises of God are in Him, they're yes. Isn't that great? God, I found this promise in Your Bible, and I'd really like to apply it to my life, and I really want to use it, and I would really like to have it for my own, and, well, I'm just going to claim it. No, it's not for you. It's for the guy next to you, but it's not for you. No, they're all yes. I will never leave you or forsake you. Oh, I wish that was mine. It is yours. Though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no... What a great promise! Wish it was mine. It is yours. All of His promises to us are yes. It says, and in Him, amen. It's good. That verse goes on to say in 2 Corinthians 1:22, concerning the Holy Spirit and the anointing that God's put upon us, He says, who has also sealed us and given us the Holy Spirit in our hearts as a guarantee. And that's where we're going right now. Verse 14. It says, who is the guarantee? Who is? The Holy Spirit is the guarantee. Guarantee. What does this word mean? Some of your old King James Bibles got the right word. I think it's earnest. That's not a guy. That's a... Earnest is a down payment. It too can be a pledge. When you go somewhere, you're going to buy something. Maybe you're at what do you call these things on Saturday mornings at the garage sale? And you see something and you go, you know what? I got a couple more places to stop at, but I really like this. You're asking $100 for it. Can you hold it for me? The guy says, no way. I'm going to hold it for you. You crazy? I could sell it in 5 minutes. Well, I tell you what, I'll be back. Here's $25 as earnest money, down payment money. I'll give you $25, don't sell it, I'll be back in an hour. It's called a down payment. You give a down payment because you're serious about buying it. You're serious about taking it home. The Scripture says in verse 14 that God has given us the Holy Spirit as a guarantee. He's put the Holy Spirit in your heart as a down payment. It is God's first installment in your life, promising that He's going to get you to heaven intact, complete. How do you know? Because you're wrapped with the Holy Spirit and sealed with the mark of our God in heaven. And the Holy Spirit is the buyer. And He will take you to the King, to the Master. He's promised. Well, I don't feel like it. Tough. He's promised. I don't know. Well, He does. He knows. The word guarantee or earnest or down payment means a security, a pledge. Charles Spurgeon wrote a really neat little devotional book, something about God's checkbook of promises. And there's one for every day of the year. And it's all God's promises. And Spurgeon says you just write from God's account. Now think about that. That may bless you or not. Depends on how you look at accounts. But if it's your account or my account, it's like, well, you're not going to get too far in these promises. But it's God's checkbook. And Spurgeon says, take God's checkbook of promises and write. And so whatever your situation is, what's going on in your life? Whatever is going on in your life, you need to grab God's checkbook. He's talking about the Bible. And you need to write a promise out. Write it out. Physically write the thing out. What is it? Is it your business? Is it your marriage? Is it your relationship? Is it your health? Write out the checkbook, which is, hey, God will complete that which He's begun in you. Write it out. And I really think that God is saying to us, hold it up to me, present it to me. Come on. God says, try me. You have a need. God wants to know, a lot of our needs in our lives, what God's trying to do? We have a need in our life. God is trying to get us to apply the Word to the need. That's why we have the need. God allows the need to come up, so He wants us to see if we're going to take the Word. We get the Word? Hold it up to Him? God, You said. God, You said that You would come and help me in this situation. You said that You would never, we don't have a dime left, God, and You said that the righteous would never be forced to begging bread. God, we need Your sustenance. We need Your supply. We need Your help. God, You said that if we follow You and our heart is right with You and seeking You, that You give us the desires of our heart, Lord. Do we dare be so bold? Are we spending time? Do we know Him enough? Are we just walking with Him, enjoying this thing that He's given us, eternal life, and we're just experiencing God? And we say, God, You said You'll give us the desires of our hearts. Listen, isn't that an amazing thing to promise somebody? Can you imagine? Junior, I'll give you the desires of your heart. Delight yourself in me, and I'll give you the desires of your heart. Can you imagine? Junior coming up, hey, Dad, I'm going to delight myself in you. You know what that means? Dad, the things that interest you, I want those things to interest me. I want to do those things that are interesting to you, that means something to you. I want to delight myself in You, Lord. I want to crawl inside Your mind, Dad, and know what You're thinking and then act or be accordingly. And we've got the Bible. We know how God thinks. We know what He says. We know what He's feeling. And to know that is to say, Lord, can You work that out in my life? Can You make me a blessing, to You? He wants to do it. And when that begins to happen, God's not sitting up there worrying about, oh no, He's kind of delighting Himself in me. Now He's going to ask for a new Porsche or something. He doesn't, oh no. You won't want to ask for a Porsche. You'll ask for a Suburban or something godly, You'll ask because God will be prompting your heart and it'll be pleasing to Him. The very desires of God in heaven will become your desires and you'll respond that way. It's an amazing thing. But He's given us these precious promises and these guarantees of the Holy Spirit in our lives. Romans 11:33 says, oh, the depth of His riches, both of the wisdom and the knowledge of God. How unsearchable are His judgments and His ways, they're past finding out. So we've got this checkbook of promises we can write. Romans 11:33. Philippians 4:19. You know this one. My God shall supply all of your need according to His riches and glory by Jesus Christ. Isn't that amazing? You have a need? There's a promise. Philippians 4:19. Write it down. Take it to the Lord. Hold it up. Say, Jesus, You made me this promise. Isn't it wonderful, you guys? Have we made God any promises? Some of you may be new believers. And you're going to learn. You make Him no promises. I've been a Christian 18 years, 18 and a half years. It's taken me 18 years to realize I'm no longer making him any promises. Every time I made him a promise, I broke it within a couple hours or a couple days. Didn't mean to. And as I look through the Bible, nowhere does it demand or command of me to make him a promise. What it does demand and command of me is to believe his promises that he's given me. Every one of them. He loves us. Whenever I go away, I always get my kids a thimble or a spoon. You know those things? They're like $3.99. Don't tell them that it's that. They think it's like really top stuff. But, you know, and wherever I go, I get these things, and you're scrambling around. They get excited over that stuff. What'd you get? And we're trying to get this collection going so that, you know, if the Lord doesn't come back and I'm dead and gone and Lisa and I are in heaven and, you know, relaxing on the retirement program with the Lord and just letting them live their lives down here and letting God reward them for all the grief. No, I'm kidding. But, you know, they look at the things and, oh, you know, Dad got this and there and that there thing and, you know. And so, you know, tonight, I got here like 10 minutes before the service, coming from Reno, and getting ready to, you know, getting on the airplane, and it's, I don't have anything. You know, and I think somebody's going to make a lot of money if you go to LAX and have little trinkets from all over the world right there. So when you come from wherever you've come from, you can say, I hope you enjoy it. I got this in Rome, you know. And it's like, L.A. Yeah. But the thing is, you know, and then they all excited and you give it to them. It's the thimble, you know, and they put in the, you know, and. Well, you know what? They're kids. It's, oh, neat. And they never think about it again. But it means, you know, and I think it means more to me than it does to them. I like doing it.
Pastor and Bible teacher Jack Hibbs of Calvary Chapel, Chino Hills in Southern California, in a presentation taken from Paul's letter to the Ephesians. It's part of a mini-series called Are You Sealed by the Holy Spirit? A look at verses 12, 13, and 14 of chapter 1. We'll pick up with more on tomorrow's edition of Real Radio. Well, one of the most infamous dates in all U.S. history is coming up. We all see the bumper stickers that remind us never to forget, and we hope that every Real Radio listener never will. Well, to help us better understand the terrorism, carnage, and Antichrist views of Islam, we are once again offering Brigitte Gabriel's book, Because They Hate. The author refuses to keep silent in this politically correct society of ours, and warns Westerners about this very real threat. If you missed our offer last time, now's your opportunity to take advantage once again. For your gift to the ongoing work of Real Radio of any amount, we'll send you Brigitte Gabriel's book, Because They Hate. Visit realradioactive.org for more about the book and its author, and to make your contribution, realradioactive.org. Our telephone number is toll-free, 877-RR-RADIO, 877-RR-RADIO. Or send your gift to Real Radio, Box 1273, Chino Hills, California, 91709. And of course, you can find out all of our contact information once again by visiting realradioactive.org. Real Radio with Jack Hibbs is sponsored by Calvary Chapel, Chino Hills in Southern California, and made possible by the generous contributions of its listeners. Till next time, we at Real Radio and Calvary Chapel, Chino Hills, wish for you solid and steady growth in Christ and in His Word.
Inside, you shine amidst this broken daylight.
Real Radio with Pastor Jack Hibbs is sponsored by Calvary Chapel, Chino Hills, California.